Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or good morning, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining us once again. This is John. I'm here from HC3. I have my good colleague here, Dr. David Krause. And this is session two. We're moving into session two. If you haven't seen session one, then please go back and watch our very first rendition of our quiz, our Legionella quiz. This is now session two, where we're diving in more to sources and transmission. And today, we're putting David under the spotlight once again with all of these questions.
Rapid fire Legionnaires.
The rapid question. Fire on Legionnaires' disease. I almost want to have one of them spotlights on you, like, you know, when you start, because I've started, so I'll finish. So it's like a quiz here. So, David, are we ready?
We're ready. Let's do what we can.
Okay. Some of these, ladies and gentlemen, we may have covered these before, but it's important that we may go over a few things. But these are questions that need to be answered that people have in their minds all the time. And whilst you may have heard this before, some of you out there will never have heard about it. So we're diving in now to sources and transmission. First question, David, how do people get Legionnaires' disease?
Okay. Legionnaires' disease is a pneumonia, and it is one of the most unusual ways to contract a waterborne pathogen. So Legionella is transmitted in the water or the water droplets from various sources. So from a shower or a hot tub or even a sprinkler system or some type of water spray. But you contract it not by drinking it, but by breathing it. So inhaling the very fine water droplets that contain the Legionella bacterium or the amoeba that contain the Legionella bacterium is the primary way that we contract Legionnaires' disease.
Well, it's actually quite scary when you think about it, that we breathe those water droplets in, and we're going to go into questions that cover this in a moment, but it is actually quite scary, ladies and gentlemen. So next question, David, which is a really good, interesting one, is can Legionella be transmitted through our air conditioning systems?
Well, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding of how that terminology happens. So the very first outbreak of Legionnaires' disease was attributed to a cooling tower associated with the Bellevue Stratford Hotel in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, technically speaking, the cooling tower is part of the air conditioning system. So it is often this big tower that is on top of a building or the alley behind the building that is used to dissipate the heat from the coolant that is used in the air conditioning systems. So, you know, that statement and that technical association is true, but it's often conflated and confused with the part of the air conditioning system that's actually blowing the cold air inside the home, or in the hotel, or, you know, in the hospital. And that's not the case. So, you know, there is really no association with using an air conditioning system and contracting Legionnaires' disease, but there's been a lot of wasted time and effort. And there's even some erroneous stuff in one of the ASHRAE guidance documents that suggests you can contract Legionnaires' disease from the cooling coils or what we call the air handling unit. There's simply no evidence or data that that's true. And the environmental conditions where Legionella would grow don't exist inside of an air handling unit. So that's the technical side of where it's growing. In theory, what can happen is if you have a cooling tower and the air conditioning, it pulls in outside air through its ventilation part, where it's pulling in those droplets from the outdoors, in theory, it can be transmitted through the building's air conditioning systems. That is, I'll say, very theoretical. Nobody's ever demonstrated that. And it certainly hasn't been a main source of any outbreaks that I've ever seen or read in the documentation.
Thank you, David. And the next question is, and we can probably go a little bit deeper with this, what are the common sources of Legionella outbreaks? Because people don't really understand where it all comes from and the potential sources that we have. And often when there's an outbreak, even, you know, government agencies don't know where the source is. So where are the sources of these outbreaks normally?
Absolutely, absolutely. So when we talk about sources, we're going to talk about what water source is actually aerosolizing droplets into the air. So that may be something that is commonly recognized as cooling towers. So that's one of the major ones. But it's not the only ones. In New York City, they only regulate the cooling towers. They don't ask you to look at any of the other sources. Decorative water features, that's another big one. That is, I think, at greater risk than most people recognize. They're completely unregulated. Most go completely untreated with chemical treatments, and many are allowed to become very fouled with biological agents.
And we've seen some terrible pictures and disasters of water features that you think are beautiful. And
absolutely. And it can be water features indoors or outdoors. So there have been many of these outbreaks that are they're often associated with hotels, but you could have water features at a church or at a restaurant or, there's one at my local veterinarian's office that I just steer clear of. But those can be a bad source of exposure and amplification. Another common source are what we call hot tub or spas. So, residential style hot tub or a swimming pool type spa. Now these are heated, and they commonly have a jets or air jets, and they create quite a bit of aerosolization and are just an ideal incubator for Legionella if they are contaminated. We're going to be doing some presentations. We're doing a great long study on hot tubs and their risks, and I have some stuff coming out in the coming months on the effects and the ineffectiveness of chemical treatments for hot tubs, but that's a little bit later.
Yeah, that actually is an exciting study to be bringing. It certainly made me rethink some things out there, and I can't wait till that comes out and see the response from that, David. So
absolutely. There's a few more that I really want to make sure people are recognizing. So your standard sink.
That's what I was going to ask. I was sinking my shower heads.
Yes. So we call that the premise plumbing or the fixtures in a home. So an apartment or a hotel. So typically it's associated with the hot water, but can also be a problem of the unheated or the cold water of a building. So the premise plumbing, the showers, the sinks, anywhere. And we often don't think they produce a lot of aerosols, but they do. Anytime you're running a sink, most are fitted with an aerator, which injects air into the water to help splashing and to give you the illusion that you're getting more using more water than you really are. So the potable drinking water system of the building. Here's a fun fact that according to a study from the CDC that looked at diseases of waterborne pathogens associated with drinking water. And from 2015 through 2020, so before the pandemic, Legionnaire's disease surpassed all other waterborne pathogens combined.
That is so scary.
Yeah. So it has really supplanted, E. coli, fecal coliforms, and cryptosporidium, all other types of bacteria. And the areas that are the two most frequent and the highest numbers are healthcare. That's hospitals, nursing homes.
Yeah.
And the second after that are lodging. So hotels and resorts.
It is quite scary. And often you don't know when you're in, say, a hotel or resort, if they're really doing anything, they're treating anything. And it's made me think, since I've been working with you guys as well, it's anywhere you go, you're thinking, okay, are they treating the water here? What's the score? It's quite a scary thing. So, and this is a great segue, because this is a question. I was quite shocked how often this is asked by people, because they're really scared about it. Can you get Legionella from drinking water?
Okay, so the water that we use to drink, we often call it potable water, often does contain Legionella, either in extremely low levels that we don't believe are a problem, in that may be coming from the city water, the municipal water system, or the active drinking water. So drinking the water. So drinking the water, there's no known mechanism. However, what we do recognize, especially with people who have swallowing difficulties, persons with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease,
people
who begin to lose the ability or aspirate on that water frequently. So aspiration is believed to be a pathway that typically is limited to people who are severely ill, often bedridden, and incapable of consistently avoiding inhaling the water droplets. So that's the one exception, I would say, is that it's not really drinking the water, but inhaling those small bits of water is believed to cause disease. And again, not in the typical walking around relatively healthy hospital populations, but in theory, yes.
That's also quite a scary thought when you think about it. So this leads us on to another question that people ask a lot, which again is quite shocking, is can Legionella survive in bottled water? And I was surprised at how often this is asked.
Yeah. So I would say theoretically, yes.
Yeah.
But practically, no. So most bottled water is treated seven ways to something. And, you know, the filtration, the ozone, UV deterioration in order to allow the water to have a decent shelf life so that they can package it, ship it, store it, sell it, and still have an expiration date. It's almost, I've never seen any documented cases associated with bottled water. But, you know, and again, you really don't have a mechanism to aerosolize it, to take that bottled water and put it into very tiny droplets either. So, you know, most bottled water all bottled water has an expiration date. So you want to make sure that you're protecting yourself in that way anyway. But I wouldn't look at bottled water as being a risk for Legionnaire's disease.
Now, what about water from springs, underground springs?
So especially heated springs, so hot springs, can be a harbor for Legionella. As a matter of fact, I was just reading an article from Japan where a very old and well-established hot springs, thermal springs, was tested and found to contain Legionella. However, in nature doesn't tend to cause these things to produce very fine aerosols. So in instances where you've got like a geyser, where people... the water would be hot enough and pressurized enough to cause aerosolization, that water is going to be scalding hot. And two things, we would not be around it.
No.
And two, the Legionella wouldn't survive it. Anything over about 160 to 175 degrees Fahrenheit, the Legionella is going to get cooked like just about everything. So I'll say it can be present at lower water temperatures, say around 100 to 120 degrees Fahrenheit, where you may have people exposed to it. But in those instances, as long as you're not taking it and spraying it up in the air and create a fine mist, I'd say there's little risk of disease. But, you know, it can be there, and some caution needs to be had.
Now, here's an interesting one. Can I get Legionella from my garden or when I'm gardening?
Okay, well, there's a loaded question. So there's
there's a loaded question because there has been cases. So yes, okay,
absolutely. So here in the United States, it is rarely, if ever, even talked about or acknowledged about the risks of Legionella associated with garden soil, and typically this is bagged potting soil, mulch, and compost. So in those materials, Legionella can be present. Legionella can be there in high concentrations, but it's not the species of Legionella that we typically find in water. So in water, we see, the disease is mostly associated with Legionella pneumophila, specifically Legionella pneumophila serotype 1.
Yeah.
for so Legionella. There's another species of Legionella called Longbeachiae, just like Long Beach, California, and that is mostly associated with in drier environments and tends to survive in those plastic bags of potting soil and compost. Okay. And that has mostly been diagnosed and documented in Australia, New Zealand, Great Britain, a little bit in Europe. I have been party to some testing of a person who was diagnosed with Legionella longbeachiae in the U.S. And the garden soil, the potting mixes that they were using to make their raised bed garden. We went through a massive testing of that, and we're able to find the organism that caused his disease in that soil. So it's certainly there. I'll say it wouldn't be detected by the normal urine antigen test. So further right. testing would be necessary to even diagnose somebody. So that's one way in which it's, I'll say, fairly well documented, recognized that, exposure to garden soil, moist, aerosolized potting soil or mulch can be related to that. The second one has been mostly theoretical, and even theoretical in my eyes up until recently. And that is the association of Legionella with garden hoses. So, we've always talked about this as being something that could happen, but we had an opportunity in a longstanding project to go through and test the Legionella emissions or generation from just standard garden hoses. These happen to be used for filling hot tubs, but any garden hose could do this as well. And essentially, what we found is that we don't know why. We don't know all the environmental conditions and how long it takes. But once a garden hose can be is colonized with Legionella, it's not just a little bit that comes out. It can come out in large concentrations for a long time. And it just becomes a shedding machine. I think there, certainly with gardening, sprinklers, garden hoses are, measures we say we want to put them up dry, and they're never put up completely dry.
No, they're not.
And they're often, designed to actually keep water in them. So, yeah, it certainly is a source of Legionella can amplify. And, of course, use it as a sprinkler or sprayer. They're often used as part of, as equipment to clean down and to service cooling towers. So it may be an ongoing source.
Power washers and things like that.
Power washers, pressure washers.
I guess, David, this is not from the gardening, but this is something that I'm just thinking about now as well. And would this also be a problem, say, in our emergency response units? So, for instance, fire service, we're using... because their hoses, I guess, they're not protected from it. If they're using... they're using, municipal water to dye. Surely there's a potential problem there?
Yeah, I say potential, theoretical, but probably not practical. So one of the things that, and I have had to, in my days, had to learn a bit about firefighting equipment and protection of that firefighting. So it's for professional firefighters. The hoses that they use, they take care of. They don't want them to become brittle. They don't
Right. So they dry them out.
So they dry them out.
Right.
They leave the scene. They go back to the firehouse, and they will normally, it is normal operation to pull them back out, rinse them down, get all the dirt, debris that, and material that may degrade them while they're in storage, wash them back out, get them dry, and store them dry, because storing them wet can initiate corrosion and damage and rotting that would then compromise the hose. So I'd say we're probably at pretty low risk for that to happen in a professional firefighting, equipment.
That's actually good to know. I was just wondering about that myself. So here's another rather strange question, but I get it, right? Because in America, we love our pets. And one of the questions that are asked a lot of the time is, well, can my pet get Legionnaire's disease?
Well, it depends on what kind of pet you have. So
let's say dogs and cats, because I'm not if you want to keep a snake or a reptile or something, great, have at it, but we're talking dogs and cats here.
Exactly. I'm unaware of any diagnosis of Legionnaires' disease for dogs and cats.
That's interesting.
However, guinea pigs.
Hey, serious?
Some people do keep guinea pigs, and guinea pigs are actually highly susceptible to Legionella and have been used in research and were actually used in some of the initial research to understand what bug was causing this problem. So I'd say certainly guinea pigs and probably similar animals there, and then possibly even birds may be susceptible as well, but that's not been studied.
I never expected that. So, you know, when I'm writing a new article, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be doing one about guinea pigs, because that really kind of shocked me as well. So the biggest question that parents and family have, and I think it's the last question that we have here, David, is Legionella in my shower head. Do I need to be worried about Legionella in my shower?
Well, it is one of the major sources that people are exposed to. And when they become contaminated, they can be a significant source of exposure and cause of disease. Now, should you be worried about it? All right. So, ironically or sadly, it's often the guest shower, the ones that we, rarely use or reserve for use for guests, which are often, mom and dad or the grandparents or relatives who've come to visit. And, they're using the shower, the guest bathroom that is not often used. And that often becomes the source of greatest contamination within any residence or property. So, the shower head, and then also the hose for the shower wand. So, the handful of water.
Yeah.
If you can imagine that, typically will hold water unless you drain it out. And it can be quite a, you have to take things apart to get it drained out. So, those can be highly susceptible. People ask, what do we do to clean it, maintain it? I don't really prescribe to that. Once it becomes contaminated, throw it away.
Throw it away, get a new one. Would you recommend, David, that people who have, like we have a spare bathroom here, very rarely ever gets used unless, families visit or something. Would you recommend for homeowners then to utilize that every now and again, once a month, twice, whatever it takes, to run water through it to keep it going, or just your advice?
That's often what's recommended. I don't know how effective it would be.
I was going to say, how effective is it? Because it's how long's a piece of string,
Yeah. Here's the approach that I take. How much do we pay for a shower head or a shower wand? They're not cheap, but they do sell point of use filters that replace the shower head or the shower wand. And so that may be, I'll say, the most surefire way to protect your guests and your loved ones is, realistically, are you going to flush enough water through there to keep that area clean? Probably not. But to buy, $100, $120 filtered shower head that has a 0.2 micron filter, and then when it's used, it's going to stop bacteria. And that would be, I would say, the most professional and reliable
way. Yeah.
And that's sort of what we do as well.
Is that something that's used in leisure industry and hotels and things, or no?
Rarely. It's mostly used in healthcare, nursing homes, assisted living facilities. And unfortunately, most of them don't use it until
they have to. An outbreak. I was going to say until there's an outbreak. And yeah, that's basically what's happened. Oh God, something's happened. We need to deal with this. Yes. David, I have a bonus question, and it's a bit weird, but I've got to ask you this. This is a bonus question for you. And I found this really weird. Can Legionella grow in my car windshield washer?
Hey, yes. So I call this the problem with vehicle mounted tanks. So right, tanks of water, whether it's your windshield wiper fluid, whether it's your RV camper bunker water for your sink or shower in your RV, whether it is a dust suppression system used on city or county vehicles, or even there was a fascinating write-up of an outbreak that occurred in Madrid, Spain, where they were using a asphalt grinding machine to take up asphalt to reconstruct a road.
Oh, right.
And as part of that, they had
these spray tanks. Water.
Yeah, they spray water over the machine as it's grinding the stuff up.
Yeah.
And, you know, does anybody ever clean that tank? No. Does anybody treat it with chlorine? No. And whatever water they brought into it.
That's right, yeah.
They were, and so people were contracting the disease as they were driving past the construction and breathing in this fume, this mist. And so the investigators were really having a troubled time because the outbreak seemed to move around the city. And it's quite a bit of detective work that allowed them to diagnose this. So
that is fascinating because there has to be a pattern that's like, wait a minute, this seems to be an intelligent pattern to this.
Yeah, there's a pattern to this. It keeps following the roads. So, yes, there's a number of studies, especially long-haul truckers in Japan.
I can imagine. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
were diagnosed with an increased risk, and there have been several small studies that have looked at and found Legionella growing in the windshield wiper fluid that is often used. And, you know, if you're spraying windshield wiper fluid, sometimes you can smell the fragrances or the glycol they put in there. You can imagine that stuff gets heated during the daytime.
If you can smell it, you're breathing it.
You're breathing it, exactly. So that and RV campers can certainly be been associated with individual cases. So, yeah, anything is a vehicle-mounted water tank that then sprays that water should be viewed as a very significant source and should be treated accordingly.
Okay. Bonus question number two, and then we're done. And I think this is important because people want to know this. Is, are there other household appliances that people out there should consider in the home that would possibly harbor Legionella?
So household appliances. So CPAP machines, not really an appliance, but something we do use.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely critical. CPAPs, humidifiers, oxygen humidifiers, to always use distilled sterile water. Never even wash it with tap water, and make sure that you that material is dry in between uses, and never ever 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 introduce tap water into it. Not even filtered tap water, because those filters don't remove bacteria that we're worried about.
Yeah,
that's one. Often home decorative water features, fountains, desktop fountains. I found those to be sources of individual cases of Legionnaire's disease.
Wow.
So, those are some certainly to think about. But as far as what we'd find in the home, those are typically outside of the garden hose or the residential
mentioned that one.
Hot tub can be a source of amplification and exposure, and even your own shower heads,
that's sinks. Scary.
But as far as appliances, the other part would be humidifiers. So cool mist humidifiers. These are typically ones that don't heat the water into steam. Kind of looks like steam, but is a very finely spun mist of water droplets. Sometimes, I've had outbreaks associated with cool mist humidifiers, and then also some fragrances. So there's been some kind of cool mist fragrances where people, they sell them to put odors. And
I used to have one until I started working with you.
I now do
not have one.
Scare me to death. Yes, yes. especially, finding them in a healthcare facility.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So those can certainly be a concern.
Wow.
Don't think that everything's going to get you, but
No, but it's
clean
good.
water is kind of important for us.
It's good to know. I think we need to. The water is a, we need water to survive, and we want to have the best water we possibly can, and we don't want to be actually breathing in any diseases. David, thank you for joining me tonight, ladies and gentlemen. That was part two. Fascinating, and it's only going to get better. So join us for part three, when we'll be jumping on and dealing with more, looking at risk factors and vulnerable populations, and that'll be a good one that we'll be catching up with. So until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, please. If you've got any questions, HC3FL, dropusaquestions.com, by the way, and we will answer any questions you have, anything that you're listening to, and any questions you have for David. And if you are a professional who is, managing a water facility and needs some help, then obviously you know where to come and to reach out. David, thank you for joining me again. This was a fascinating one. And those curveballs are going to come. I'm going to find bonus questions each time. God bless.
Wonderful. Look forward to it.